Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up, and take it away.
That roast pork bowl was phenomenal.
Pork. Other white meat.
It was really good.
We love pork.
Really damn good.
Damn, that pork tastes good.
All right, let's see where I am. Pat, today is our listener appreciation show.
Yeah, today we're going to have a listener call-in episode, man. We've been looking forward to this for a long time.
And we're our listener appreciation show.
It's not really a call-in show.
It's the end of the show. Thanks, everybody.
Good
talk
night.
To you next week.
Wrapping it up.
Pat, but, talk about it.
But seriously, we've been talking about this a long time. We're going to get some of our listeners on. You guys are going to be able to talk about anything in the world you want to talk about. You can talk about a topic, you know, talk about your experiences with Linux. Yell at Dan for telling me he's a nincompoop. Tell me I have marbles in my mouth. Yell at Alan for being damn too quiet. Yell at Link for making the beeping noises on his computer.
Who just went, eh?
That was Alan.
I was going to say, because it sounded like Link would have done that, but...
He's not on.
Yeah, he's not here. All right, who are we talking to first?
First up is Ken Fallon.
Oh, good. I could just add his Skype ID instead of having... We're using a new version of Skype that just came out.
Oh, you installed it?
Yes, it's 1.3 point whatever beta. And it's pretty nice so far. It hasn't crashed yet. And you know what? What's that smiley face next to Ken Fallon?
I don't know. Is that an emoticon? Maybe he's online. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the new thing.
All right. Man. Yeah.
Link says beep, beep, beep. Link, we love your beeping.
Okay. Whew. Oh, man. All this liquid refreshment over here is making my desk moist.
Yes. The beer of the night, first selection is Grolsch beer, a fine Dutch beer.
Oh, can we all open up the door there for a while to let some air into this room?
What the hell are you doing there, Dan? Oh, okay.
There we go.
All right, we're going to start a conference
like
call.
Starting hot breeze camp. Come whipping by me when the door opens.
All right, here we go. Let's see how this will actually work. The first one of the night. It's ringing. Link picked up. Hi, Link. Ken picked up.
Hello.
How you guys doing tonight? Can you hear each other?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
I can hear him for sure.
All right, that's all that matters. So we have Ken Fallon on. Ken, where are you from?
I'm from Ireland.
All right, Ireland.
I'm living here in the Netherlands. Yeah.
So it's like the middle of the night for you.
Yeah, it's 2:30.
Oh.
But, yeah, it was worth it.
Thanks for the dedication.
When I heard you, yeah, no problem. Actually, this is the first time I've ever heard you live. Normally, I'm upstairs hoovering or something on a Saturday when you're on. So it's been mad to see the preparation for the show. And yes, everybody, they do actually wing it.
Absolutely.
Ken, welcome to the show, man. You're our very first caller for tonight.
And you know what, Ken? Speaking of winging
cool.
We have a whole new setup today. We're doing it all from my one machine. So we got the recording and the **Skype calls all from one machine. Hooray.
Yeah.
So Ken, Ken, what do you got to talk
about?
What do you got to talk about tonight?
As Pat just barrels over top of you.
Yes, right through it.
Not a lot, really. Yeah, it was probably a bit of a delay as the bits come over the pond. No, I just wanted to... to tell everybody that it's basically, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I don't know how you can do this every weekend, or every week.
Neither do we.
I did a twat episode once, and it took me weeks. Oh my god!
Which one did you do?
Yeah, good show.
Which twat did you do?
The one on free Windows utilities.
Oh, okay, okay. Are you?
70, I think.
Okay. Are you gonna be doing more twats?
Yep. I had planned to do one on satellite, IP over satellite, but I don't think satellite over in the US uses the DBB standard. And I've also got some kids, so they tend to suck up your time.
Lock them up.
So,
how many kids?
I was thinking of doing that, but
how many kids do you have?
Two biological alarm clocks. Two, a boy and a girl. Or a girl and a boy, actually.
Lots of joy.
Best of both worlds. So what are you running over there, Ken?
Quickly. Yeah, that'll be. At the moment, I'm running Ubuntu on my laptop, which is a work laptop, and I've kind of found a way to... We have a development network and works, so I don't need to boot into Windows at all, which is cool. And on my other desktops, I've got Breezy. My wife runs Breezy. I run Ubuntu on my desktop server, and Debian on my servers downstairs. And OpenWRT on that really cool Asus box that I bought last week. So... gonna try and get Bashpod running on that.
Yeah!
Don't you want to run something a little more reliable?
Seriously. Something more modern.
Gotta watch those unreliable Bash scripts, right?
Something more modern.
Yeah, I know.
So are you running,
Yeah, you said it.
Are you running Dapper or,
I already run it on my laptop then.
Are you running Dapper or, what's the new version of...
I'm running Dapper on my laptop.
The old version was Breezy Bastard.
And
Etchy Edge or something?
Yeah, that's the next version.
Oh, you're running Etchy?
No, I'm running just straight Dapper at the minute.
Oh, okay.
And no, go, no. It's the last... I think I went on flight 3 with Ubuntu, and it was painful enough, some of the changes.
And now, Pat, you're running Dapper, right?
Yes, I am.
And Link's running Dapper. Are any of you guys, has anybody tried the export of like a photo archive to a DVD or
I
a
haven't
video
done it yet.
File yet?
But no. Digicam you're talking about?
Yeah, under Digicam.
Nope. I probably should, though. You know, I got a lot of pictures just like everybody else does these days, so.
Damn, I want to know if it works in Dapper. You should know that, Ken, right?
Well, it doesn't work in Dapper. Ken knows that it works in Dapper. He knows the damn program, don't you, Ken?
Yeah. No, I don't use Digicam. The reason I went... yeah, right. I don't think so. No, I put Dapper on my AMD 64 because it had more up-to-date video editing stuff. Because I was transferring some videos from amateur dramatic videos of my brother onto DVD. And here's the thing you should never do. Never agree to anything after you've had a few pints in a pub.
So what are you using for the editing?
A year and a half of converting 11 videos over DVD.
Oh, yeah. So when you...
I was... let me see. All sorts of things. Mostly I ended up using command line tools.
Oh, okay. Now, was it just a transferring or transcoding and putting it onto a DVD, or were you actually doing any editing?
The delay.
Were you actually doing any editing on those?
Just a little bit of editing at the front, you know, edit out the garbage at the front and at the back and put in a simple menu. So I ended up... No, some chapters, that's it.
And what are you using?
But most of the problems was trying to get the very poor quality video onto, get the hue and the contrast and the colors right. And that was a pain.
Then what are you using to put them onto the DVD?
Go ahead.
What are you using to put them onto the DVD?
I don't have it on my. I have a lovely text file over there, so I've. Grow ISO or something like that.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, it's been. This has been a cool machine because I've kind of been running an experiment to see how I could put bits into it and see how long it would be before it died. I got to do the video editing. I got a whole go of cheap cards to put in hard disks into it. So I've got 6 or 8 100-megabyte hard disks all in one big stripe. So I'm waiting for the day for one of them to die and all my video partition to go into the great big bucket into the sky.
You got to get yourself a big 250-gig hard drive.
Yeah, that'll cost money, though.
They're pretty cheap over
there. I just saw the RSS feeds today, or was it yesterday, that somebody has a 1-terabyte drive available now for, like, $600. I think I need to get, like, 5 of those, you know?
How much was it?
Yeah.
What size?
It was, like, $600.
For what size?
1 terabyte.
Oh, God.
A terabyte. Yeah.
That's a lot of space, man.
That's a lot of space. Hell
yeah.
I hand Pat a piece of paper. He hands me a
good trade, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, and you're complaining why.
Good trade, yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead there, Ken.
No. I'm just saying that, I bought a Linksys, or not a Linksys router, an Asus WL500GP that's got 2 USB ports on the back. And you can mount an external hard disk on that. Sounds like a ideal use for that 1-terabyte hard disk.
Oh, that's those new routers, right? You can do that.
Yeah, they're very sexy. They're thinking of getting a few of them, putting them into different houses around and do our sync across.
That's cool shit, man. Cool stuff. Very cool. There was a twat episode about that.
Another one from my list of projects that I'll never get to. Yeah, actually, that's where I got the idea. It's really cool. What's happened to TWAP?
They took a month off.
Don't they always take a month off?
Every once in a while, they'll take a month off, which is fine. You know, we get a little break.
Yeah, it's cool.
What always throws me about TWAP is like...
That's really cool because I got the... when I started doing this thing... Sorry, go on.
No, you finish, Ken, and I'll do mine after you because you're the guest tonight. You're the star.
No, you're... No, you're the stars of the show. You're the talent.
All right, what I was going to say about...
I can't even remember what I was saying. Yeah, actually, I can't.
What I was going to say about TWAT, what always throws me is it seems
I'll shut up, then.
It seems that we end up... And I don't know if you experience this too, Pat, but the 1 month, you'll be at the end of the month, and then the next month, you're at the beginning.
So you got to do...
Two
together.
Pretty up front, and then you have like the following month. You're at the end of the month, so you got like it almost feels like 2 months between your shows there sometimes. But I'm sorry, Ken, go ahead.
Actually, I was thinking, Link. I think it'd be a fantastic episode sometime if you went through the Bash Potter script.
Yeah, that would be a good episode.
There's only like 40 lines, man.
Talk about
it's like gonna be a very long episode, right?
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, but the. Yeah, but that said, the wget command, I was beating my head against the wall trying to find out how to output to a file name. And I thought, I was saying, how am I going to do that? And I was thinking, your script works and does that. So I had a quick read of how you did it. And I've made some scripts since that's used that. So it's pretty cool stuff.
It's good stuff, but I give you the all-time best hint. Read the man page. That's all I did.
Yeah.
That's it. Fast scripting in a nutshell, man. Just read the man page. That's all it is.
Actually, I was thinking it would be a good idea for the TWAP. Yeah. It's all very easy if you know how to do it.
Don't compliment him anymore. His head's big enough as it is.
So, I was thinking... No, he's the man.
Ken, do you want to badger Alan at all? This is your chance.
What on earth for?
So, you guys, how...
Besides the fact I don't say anything.
Oh! There comes a... Yeah, it depends on the show. It's kind of, makes a nice change when, Alan wants to talk for a while, so it's,
Let me,
you kind of know he's there in the background listening to the stream.
As an Irishman, do you have a problem with our accents, like understanding us? I know some of the Brits have problems understanding us. Me personally, like I've dealt with Irish people, and I think you guys speak better English. You guys speak better English than the English do.
Nah, not at all.
So you wanted to talk about something else? You said
we have quite a few. Nobel laureates or whatever you call them in literature. So
you talk.
Yeah, I just sent you. It's kind of funny because if you listen to the show every week, and I've been listening for a year and a half or so, and you guys, you hear you guys, and you think, oh, I know these guys and I know what they're up to, and then you post and you realize it's the first time you've ever posted. So I sent you an email with some background and stuff. And I put in two questions in there. If I can read them out if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just I was a network manager for a while, actually a good while, about 5-6 years. And I see it even from my job now. I'm working more as just a normal employee. I work for an ISP. But in the office network, every 6 months or so, a Windows virus comes in and the network goes down, and we end up just, plugging into the ADSL connection and continuing to work. So I was thinking, well, what do you guys think of the idea that companies would scrap their office networks and just treat everybody as an internet employee?
Okay, what I reading that, I was wondering what you meant by that, and I take it from what your question is, you don't mean that they would work from home, so to speak, but they would all connect in through, I guess you're saying through virtual private networks into a server inside the network, the company network? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like that, and that... a company could, so you come into work, you've got a laptop, it's either a supplied app or on a web dev server, you look up your address book on a LDAP server, you do your login authentication on the back end, and you treat, as far as the network's concerned, they treat everybody as a hostile client. Doesn't matter if you happen to be on an Ethernet switch outside the server room or whether you're coming in over the internet. I just think it'll save an awful lot of money.
I see what you're saying. My only concern with that would be the increase in complexity. And I guess are you talking about sectioning the workstations off from one another also so that they wouldn't be able to necessarily communicate through the network to one another, like a peer-to-peer type thing? So each node is unable to communicate with the other nodes, that type of thing, and they only go through the centralized server through a VPN client?
No, I'm not even talking about a VPN client. I'm talking they get an IP address, they've got their standalone internet device, and they have to take care of that if they connect. The computer next to them may be a colleague's computer, but as far as the computer is concerned, it's another internet node. And as far as the complexity in the network's concerned, I think actually it's simplified because most corporate networks have some system in place to allow remote workers to work, and they also maintain a backend. Now, what really got me going on this was, you have typically laptops that you issue to employees. Right, and they can log in, and they got policies and all the rest of it. Well, these sales guys take them out, they bring them out into the field, they plug them into a hostile network, and they come back virus-ridden. So what I'm saying is, forget about that, just everything on your own network is considered to be hostile, and just, just scan all emails coming in, scan all files that are being saved, and yeah, if the end user supply them with a virus client, if they happen to run Windows or put Clam AV on there if they choose to run Linux.
But each one would be are you saying each one would be kind of on a separate network or appear to be on a separate network so that they wouldn't communicate between one another, only with the centralized server?
No, they can communicate between one another all they want. Just think of it like, you've got a laptop over there, I've got a laptop here, we're both communicating. In the same way, if we take two laptops and connect them together with a hub, we're connecting them with a hub. So, yeah, I can share your music, you can share my music, whatever. But if I want to connect to the office network, I connect to, yeah, the central IMAP server, and I exchange my email there. And it's up to the server admin to make sure that there's no viruses or any junk getting in. So you just, rather than worried about locking down the desktops, you just say, forget about it. Let them do whatever they want.
So you kind of lost me there. Because on one hand, you're saying connect like they would as if they were connecting through the internet, like we're talking to one another right now, and not worry about anything, but at the same time,
yeah,
segment them so that they wouldn't infect the rest of the network, but yet they're all on the same network.
No, you wouldn't say. Yeah, no, I don't. The only thing you segment is the back-end servers. The only thing you're protecting is the back-end servers.
Oh, so you're talking about...
So you treat whether somebody's got an IP address of 192.168 or a real internet IP address. It shouldn't matter.
All right, so you're talking about having the servers and everything kind of on a separate network and from the workstations... And they would connect in as if they were on the, you know, from outside the network of the servers. Correct. Right?
Correct. Yeah.
Now,
correct.
I mean, that's... some places, I think, do that, if I'm not mistaken. Or, generally speaking,
why would it matter? You've got a Linux client. Carry on.
No, go ahead, say what you were saying.
Well, I was thinking about it from our point of view, or from the places where I worked. I think for the majority of services is just a new way of thinking. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, you choose the operating system that the person's been trained up in. You don't have to support because they've bought the machine themselves. But I was actually, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking from your point of view, you're working in a school district, and that's obviously a different mentality. So I'd be just interested to see what you thought about that.
If I understand your question correctly and your idea of what you're talking about, that would, in a sense, you would segment your servers and everything into a separate network from your workstations, and that way you prevent kind of like bottlenecks and infections or whatever caused by various worms and viruses and everything from really impacting on your server network. It would mainly impact the segment that those workstations were on, and you can more easily turn those off without having to turn off the segment that your servers are on. And I can understand, and you know, that the benefits of doing that is if you have you know, skilled enough admins to be able to administer that type of environment. But yeah, I mean, I see the benefits of doing that. And hopefully I understood your question correctly.
Ken, thanks for you know, talking to us. We really appreciate that you listen to the show. I don't want to cut you off, but you know, we want to get to more people as the show goes on. You know, hopefully next time maybe you can call in again.
Absolutely. Fire out.
Great. Thanks, Ken. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Next up, I think we're going to talk to Hellmark on Skype, too.
Yeah, man, that was some massive lag.
Yep. It's a little rough, man.
And I
swear I'm not doing anything over here.
I cut Link. I don't think there was a lag with Link, was there?
No, not at all.
Major
lag.
Oh, here I was going to add these contacts right away. All right.
Come on, Dan. You're ruining the show.
I know. I'm bringing it down.
Come on, quick, Dan.
Quicker, Dan. Faster, faster.
Get your ass in gear.
I can do it all from one machine now.
I have the power.
All right. all right.
I have to restart Skype again.
And I got to cut Link off every time, too? Or I don't know. Maybe I don't. Wow. Hellmark has his own picture, like Link does in Skype.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Hellmark?
Wow.
Yeah, you have to turn down your, like, volume.
Yeah, lower the volume.
Let him alone.
Sort of like a radio station.
Turn off your radio. Turn down your radio.
Turn down your radio.
Headphones. Headphones are a good thing.
Are you using headphones, Hellmark?
Oh, man. See what it sounds like? It sounds like the fog bells. It's a foggy night. The ships are out at sea.
It sounds like the beginning of a PBS broadcast or something, you know?
Oh, man.
Hang up and try again.
Yeah, let's try it again.
Maybe it's something in Skype.
It could be Skype problem. That's pretty funny.
It was a dark, stormy night.
It's a foggy night. The ships are out at sea.
It's back in the go. In the distance, a foghorn.
When it is 3. Check it out. It's doing that when it's like ringing over there.
No, he's they call
he's
him.
On.
Oh, he's on. Okay.
Do you have the stream on by any chance?
Because I've worked this before without any problems.
In the distance, a foghorn echoes through the bay.
Wait, everybody shut up and just look, watch the...
Yeah, people are going to love this episode.
look at the audio wave, hold on.
It's pretty continuous.
That's awesome.
We'll get back.
How Mark, we're going to hang up. We're going to go to the next person. We'll come back to you, okay?
I'll take that as an okay.
La 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 la.
You know, is that like an A or something?
Yeah, that's like I can tune my guitar to that thing.
Dude, I'm going to get trolls on here, okay?
Yeah, let's get trolls.
We're going to get monster freaking hammer from this one.
Oh, well.
You guys can't figure out how to work your Skype connection.
Trolls, how you
trolls.
Doing?
Hello.
How are you doing? Hey, what's up, trolls?
Good.
Not much.
I'm sitting here up in the middle of the night drinking some cola and waiting for you guys.
Now, why is it trolls? You're in Denmark, right?
Yeah, I am.
And we talked to a guy in Ireland, and the lag in to Ireland.
No, he was in Denmark too.
No, Holland.
Yeah, Fallon.
He wasn't in Ireland.
No, he wasn't in Ireland.
He was from Ireland.
I think he was in Amsterdam.
Something like that.
Holland, I think he was.
Oh. Well,
actually, one of my friends just messaged me on Jab and said I should just greet you guys and said your show is awesome so far. He's first time listener.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, great. Cool. Cool. Cool.
Is that K9WKJ or...
What?
Who is that?
My friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not on IRC right now.
Oh, okay. It's been a while since I've been able to talk to you, Mr. Trolls.
Yeah, it's too bad, Dan. How are you doing all the moving and stuff?
It's been an uphill climb. A lot of work going on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to Virginia, right?
Yes, my wife's leaving next week. Next Saturday. And,
I expect the Virginia version of the Hokie Guy story.
There'll be a slight...
Oh, no.
Slight
I didn't even sign...
I didn't even think about that. Like, we're going to impose all of that kind of activity upon another state.
That was, I mean, that was just an awesome story, man. Funny shit.
My wife's sister, my sister-in-law, works for a company called Jersey Mike's, which is a hoagie shop.
For people who are not from Pennsylvania, a hoagie is, in New York, we call them submarine sandwiches. Connecticut, they call them grinders. It's a sandwich with a, like a long roll.
Yeah, it's a sub.
It's a sandwich.
With a long roll.
Long roll.
Oh, man. So, Pat, how's Sousa running for you?
It's running great, man. No problems, man. Speaking of Sousa, tomorrow I'm going to the Sousa Linux Enterprise Desktop Roadshow down in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Yeah.
Remember to take a microphone along and bug some of the Novell people.
I will.
Great. Actually, I'm a little bummed out right now because I have Sousa Linux Enterprise Desktop Release Candidate 5 sitting on my Mac Mini, all the ISOs, but I haven't had enough CDs to install it.
Got to get yourself some CDs. Well, you know what? You don't have to burn all the CDs.
Yeah, well, but it's because CDs are damn expensive here in Denmark, so it's a little bit of a problem. And the default installation requires CD 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you can't do a network installation because there's no FTP tree to install off of because this is the enterprise distribution.
Oh, the enterprise distribution, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you'll have to shell out the bucks to buy the box set.
No, because I have all the ISOs. I have the pre-release that were released yesterday.
How much is a pack of 50 or 100 CDRs over there?
In Denmark?
How many euros?
In euros, it's probably going to be about 30 or something.
That's expensive, man.
See, yes,
you know what?
Yeah, it's mega expensive.
If you knew people over in like the United States, they could buy them
probably
here like dirt cheap and ship them cheap.
Yeah,
but it's too bad nobody know you know in the United States.
Yeah, well, actually, if you just go to Germany, actually, you can if you just go to Germany, you can get them for like 5 euros or something like
that. So what's the problem? They have like a VAT tax or something added to it that makes?
Yeah, the VAT in Denmark is like 25%, and all the record studios in Denmark are greedy bastards. So they also put on
they're greedy bastards here too.
Yeah,
I can't imagine there being problems with record studios in other countries other than the United States. You know?
Well, yeah, no kidding, man. That's actually true.
It's not the record companies; it's the bastards over there in Denmark pirating all that music.
Well, actually, did you hear about all that stuff with the BitTorrent track called the Pirate Bay in Sweden recently?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome, man. They're down for like 3 days and then they're up again.
Yeah,
with a vengeance too, right?
You're not going to stop it. Who are they kidding?
Yeah, that's right. And also, the police are in big trouble because during the raid, they also took out all sorts of businesses' websites.
They just grabbed a bunch of servers and ripped them out of the wall.
Exactly.
Bunch of idiots.
That had to suck, man. Because if your paycheck depends on your website, you had to pull up on these bitches. Right. That had to suck. Right.
They're going to get sued monstrously.
Yeah,
for doing that, and not to mention the fact that they, I guess when they pulled all those Pirate Bay web servers out, that wasn't even legal either.
No, and also there's rumor going around that it was actually pressure from the U.S. government that made the Swedish police do this kind of stuff.
I'm sure that's what happened.
Pat, something I wanted to mention is a few weeks ago you mentioned the question: do Linux need a universal package management? Right.
Yes.
I actually tried looking at that question from another direction, and that was like, is such a thing even possible to do? Because you have Slackware, which tends to not use the kind of most recent software, and you have like SUSE, Fedora, which actually use quite recent software. For example, when SUSE and Fedora moves to Qt4 for KDE4, I bet your Slackware is still going to stick with KDE3.5 for a little while. At least for one or two releases more. Not ditching Slackware here. I actually had a great time playing around with that, and thanks to Link for a few tips on that. But, I mean, the stuff that's on the CDs is a little bit dated in my mind.
Well, I read that the next release of Slackware is still going to stay with the 2.4 kernel tree. I mean, one of these guys going to push 2.6, man. Come on.
When 2.8 comes out, then there'll be a 2.6.
Come on.
Yes, right. But back to the point I just brought up.
2.4 and you like it.
Yeah. But Slack was for Amish Linux users. Sorry, man. That was a bad joke. Anyway, but the point I just brought up, is a universal package management system even possible?
It's possible. It just takes a lot of coordination and cooperation between different distributions.
You know, I thought of that, you know, myself, Trolls, and the universal package manager. And I could see some kind of package management system that would provide hooks into all the other ones, like apt-get, RPM, Slackware package, Pacman. And, you know, you just would issue the command, and it would, you know, provide the similar command for that, the system that you're running it on. Like, it would be like, package install, and it would do, like, apt-get. But damn it, I can't remember what apt-get install, whatever, or Pacman, SY, whatever, or, you know.
Smart install.
Yeah, but the only problem I could see with that is it would be a hell of a lot of work to maintain. Actually, it wouldn't be a hell of a lot of work to maintain it, because
if everybody's using the same package manager, it's easy.
They wouldn't necessarily need to have to use the same. Well, they use the same package manager, but it would be just, you know, the package manager would call the native package system.
That's what Smart does, in effect.
Right.
Yeah, but one thing I noticed here is because you also have the files in different distributions placed in different places. For example, Mandriva places all the KDE stuff in slash USR, and SUSE places it in slash opt slash KDE3. So there you already have a compatibility issue between the two.
So you're not, what you're saying is you're looking at more than just a wrapper type thing, like a generic wrapper. You're looking at like an actual third-party package management system that would work for all distributions.
Yeah, that's how I view that kind of. When you say universal package management, I look at some kind of like, you know, I immediately think of like the install shield in Windows or the screwed up installation system in Mac OS X. And if you want to read a rant on Mac OS X, read my blog. I just bashed it like hell a few weeks ago because I got pissed off. But that's another topic. Anyway. Because also you have some distributions that patch Qt in special ways to that may make it binary incompatible with some other version of Qt. For example, let's for the example here say that SUSE has a patch for Qt that makes the binaries you run there incompatible with Mandriva's Qt, and then you already have a binary issue. It may be source compatible, but that doesn't help here.
Right. You know, on top of the technical issues, you got a whole lot of ego issues too.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan, like you mentioned to Mark Shuttleworth, the technical issues are always easy to solve in a lot of cases. Besides, your user interface designs for like GIMP and stuff, those are never easy to solve.
Yeah.
Because I don't know GIMP developers personally, and I don't want to, you know, demonize them or anything, but I feel that they're kind of a little bit of having arrogance or something, because my experience is that they're like, this is the way our interface is. If you can't learn to use it, you're an idiot or something like that. Maybe not that so harsh, but kind of like in that direction, you know?
Right.
But also, everyone talks about GIMP and all that stuff. Have any of you guys checked out the KDE image manipulation software called Krita that's included in KOffice?
I looked at it a little bit.
Yeah, I do too. I think it looks, it's a beautiful application. It's nicely designed. Actually, it's the first image program I've actually been able to use, because I'm a bad example of trying to use either Gimp or Photoshop, because I can't use either one of those.
Yeah, I find, you know, I'm so used to using GIMP that going to another program is kind of like, you know, somebody else coming to a, you know, coming into GIMP from another program.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little difficult, but I look forward to playing around with Krita a little more.
Yeah, definitely do, because the latest version of KOffice is really nice in my mind. I've been actually digging it.
Yeah, and I the hell are you doing over there?
It's not good, man. It's not good. I'm trying to call the next person in the call queue.
Right.
And I'm getting...
Aren't you trying to pull the...
Circuits are busy.
Sorry.
I'm getting the whole circuits are busy message. Not good.
Dan, how's your chair doing?
Alan's sitting on the new one. The other one, I have to disassemble. Finish disassembling it. That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be very careful on this one.
That one's a solid chair. That's not going to break.
Yeah, I have a decade old office chair, and man, this is an uncomfortable chair. It's like your butt part starts hurting some even by just sitting on this, because it's hard.
You know what? Alan runs into that problem a lot, too, sitting on them hard things. he and Dan talk about that a lot, you know?
Okay. Well, in my case, it's just because it's a rotten office chair. It's not because of, you know, other issues.
See, we're sitting here wondering why there's lags and bandwidth goes up and down, and Alan's here looking at full res, you know, images on the internet.
No, I was looking at a K9WKJ's ham shop. Back there.
I was just afraid Alan went to meat spin.
No, I don't go there.
That is Alan.
So, Alan's the guy that eats up all the bandwidth doing updates to his computer while the show's on. That's what's going on.
I haven't done that in a long time. Matter of fact, I haven't updated this computer in a long time.
So, guys, what do you look forward to in 2006?
2007 at this point, I guess.
Getting laid.
You know what? I don't know. I just got a DVD burner, so I look forward to burning some DVDs, I guess.
Woo! Dan's a pirate!
No, I mean making my
own DVDs. I've had one for a long time. Unfortunately, mine never works.
We had Dapper released, SUSE
10.1, and we got
10.1
Sled 10
is
coming out.
Sled 10 is coming out.
Slackware 11 is coming out.
I'm not as excited about Slackware 11.
Dan has forsaken Slackware.
No, I haven't forsaken it.
You're just evil.
I mean, I gotta get around to updating my servers to Slackware 11 when it comes out. But I mean,
well, when you move, you have all of a couple hours to do that. So
I'm waiting for the Windows kill switch to be implemented already.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I saw that. That's basically like, Pat, you know that the thing Microsoft has that's called Windows Genuine Advantage?
What is that, like update?
No, it's like...
check it for piracy.
Exactly.
And eventually it'll turn off all the Windows machines.
Yeah. I hope they do that, man. That'd be awesome, because all my friends are running a pirate version of Windows. And then I can earn a lot of bug fixing it.
Reinstalled it for them.
Do you think that'll push people to try out Linux if they haven't checked it out already?
No, not my friends, because a lot of my friends play games. So that's just not an option. Actually, my friend I mentioned earlier when I just came on, actually he was very, very open to trying Linux when he did, and. He's jumping up and down on Jabber right now, but actually I think With the new consoles coming out this fall, I think it's going to be somewhat easier if you can get people to play like Xbox Live or PlayStation 3 online or Nintendo Wi-Fi connection or whatever you can get them to play, because we just need a massively multiplayer online role-playing game for a console that just kind of like grabs people by the pants and then just never lets go. Like World of Warcraft, because I had...
World of Alan grabs you by the pants and doesn't let go.
Oh, man.
No, I didn't.
Well, Dan, I didn't need... Dan, I don't need to know about your private life right now, okay? At least not those parts. That's little, you know. That's something for like a horror movie or something like that.
Yes, it would be.
You know, speaking of the consoles coming out, you know, if the Wii is going to be anything like the DS, which I just got a DS a couple weeks ago, and you know, I love it. It's phenomenal.
Did you get the Opera browser for it?
For the DS?
No, it's not out yet.
Oh, that's not out yet. I thought it was coming out soon.
No.
Well, it'll be out in Japan by next month, I think.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It seems there's more buzz for the Wii than the PlayStation 3, just for the simple fact that PlayStation 3 is going to be so damn expensive, right?
Well, Pat, do you have $600 and then $2,000 for an HD TV?
No.
No, I don't either. I'll just stick with the Wii. And also, I don't have $70 a slice for a game.
It's so damn expensive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what, you know, saving money to buy a new laptop and because I'm going to need one eventually. And, you know, I can go...
Going to get another superior Apple product?
Well, I don't know. Because, I mean, the pros about getting, like, a MacBook is that you could run, like, all the operating systems I would want to run or might have to run simultaneously and, you know, have really good support for the applications I want to run. But the flip side to that is...
Drink.
The cost. You know,
we have now moved over to Yingling Black and Tan.
Whereas I can get something like Pat has for $500.
A piece of shit Chinese Walmart laptop.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Works great, man.
And you know, again.
Yeah, actually, I just got a. I was over at my friend's house fixing their parents' computer the other day, and I found that the cooler had shaken loose, so we had to order another cooler for them. And then they had an old IBM Aptiva Pentium 3-based computer, and I just got that, man. 550 megahertz and 256 megs of RAM. Piece of shit. Runs great with OpenBSD. I mean, 550 megahertz for free. You can't beat that.
No, you can't. True. We gotta move on to the next person, I think. Because we're running out of time.
Yeah, just one last thing.
You had your chance.
You're on the show, man.
What is it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Pat, did you check out the repositories for the OpenSUSE build service, the alpha version that's still relatively internal at SUSE?
No.
Okay, well, check out software.opensuse.org.
I'll have to check it out. Thanks.
Yes, there's a lot of good stuff there.
It's
a little messy. Is a little messy, right?
Are there a bunch of applications in there that you can't find anywhere else?
Well, like KDE Backport, so if you don't want to update the entire KDE, you can just get KOffice 1.5.1, and you can also get the newest Compete and all that stuff. So you don't have to upgrade to like KDE 3.5.3 if you don't want to like lose support from the SUSE security team or something like that. It's just an example.
Wait, you know what? Wait a second. You had said something about your friend's cooler.
Yeah.
What did you mean by cooler?
You know, CPU cooler. It's one of those Medion computers. You know, Medion is a big, not a big, but a tier 2 OEM in Europe. And they had used in kind of a crappy system so that the spring that actually holds the cooler in place had broken off. So it was just hanging like a centimeter off. So when they actually had booted off Windows XP, which takes like an eternity, as you know, it got too hot and then the BIOS shuts the system hard down. So they couldn't figure out why the system would just go blackout. Because, but it was actually, it's not a bug, it's a feature.
There you go.
Exactly. Well, I don't want to disturb the show anymore right now, so I guess you have to move on.
Yeah, we got to move on, but I'll be talking to you maybe this Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll see you then.
Okay.
And thanks for the chance to come on again. It was great
to
be back.
Hey, no problem. Love to have you on. Keep up the good work in Denmark, and maybe get some CDRs at a cheaper price.
Yeah, I'll just order some from Germany.
There you go.
So, yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Later.
Bye.
Dan, we're having problems with the asterisks. I tried to call, and it's telling me all the circuits are busy.
Can I just rebooted it to Link?
And Helmark tried to call in via the conference number, and he couldn't get in. So this is not a good sign. So we're gonna have to go all Skype then.
No, just wait a minute. What do you think, Link?
Well, I think use Skype if it'll go through Broad Voice.
You can try him on the phone. You need his phone number?
I'm trying Helmark again through Skype. Hey, I got a picture of us now. Instead of the generic dude, we got a little picture.
and you still haven't gotten the picture on the iTunes one yet, so.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? I mean, Helmark.
Can you hear me?
Turn down your mic a little bit.
We can hear ourselves in the background.
turn down your radio.
Okay, get that off.
Okay,
come down a little bit more. It's getting better.
All right.
You know that's
much better. That's good.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay. Sorry about all the problems. Just been real hectic around here, and I've been fixing this machine since this weekend. Let someone stay in the room they messed around with the computer.
You know what? Don't worry about it, because we blame Link.
It's always my fault. I'm not there. As this happens every time I'm not there.
You're cursed.
So, Helmark, welcome to the show, man. This is
Thanks for having me.
This is your time, man. What do you want to talk about?
Well, first off, thanks for doing the show. Listen every week and thoroughly enjoy it. Plus, it's always a lot of fun listening live on the IRC. Because you just get a lot more jokes and stuff going on in the background. It just makes things a little more enjoyable. Plus, there's a lot of people that are knowledgeable can help you out.
Well, thanks for listening, man. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't do this, you know?
But outside of that, one of the things I was wanting to talk about was, do any of you guys, read on NewsForge?
Sure.
Okay, well, yesterday I think it was, there was an article posted in NewsForge about, Memphis getting hit by, the FSF, about not including all of the source packages for the programs that they include, only the ones that they modified. And from what I've been reading on that, there's been a lot of complaints here and there about it. I didn't know if you guys had read up on it or knew what was going on.
Is that Warren playing underhanded dirty shit again? We'll have to call him up.
I don't think it is, man. I think it's what the whole issue was he was saying that he thought he only had to post the source code for the stuff that he changed, and the stuff that wasn't changed he didn't have to provide the sources for. And it's not entirely clear whether or not that's the case. Somebody from the I guess it was the Free Software Foundation told him he had to provide everything.
Yeah, the actual GPL says that if you're going to distribute any GPL software, you must provide access to the source for, I think it's at least 3 years from the distribution time of the product, if I'm not mistaken. So, I guess to be safe and compliant with the GPL, it would be in your best interest to you know, include the source that you used and not link it to the developer's repository or wherever they have, in case the developer would ever, you know, remove that repository for the source. But, yeah, you must provide access to the source of any of the GPL software, regardless of whether you modify it or not, that you distribute.
Busted! So he's got to do everything then, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and one of his complaints is that instead of working on the next release, he's been busting ass to get the other source packages up, which, in a way, yeah, it does suck since he didn't modify it, but it's GPL's plain language, so...
He's a one-man show, that distro. Not for nothing. He does everything. I think he's got, like, one other person.
He is indeed, yep. Yeah.
So it has its disadvantages to doing that.
Patrick Volkerdig is a one-man show.
No, he doesn't.
Well, I mean...
No, he doesn't. He's got a few people working with him.
I thought Warren had...
He's got one guy, I think, that helps him.
Well, I think Warren's setup is kind of like Faber's setup for Linux New Jersey, you know, where he's like the president and the company,
right?
Kind of thing.
You know, I hope he gets things worked out and everything, but you know, if you're gonna play the game, you got to.
I do. You got to stop and think, right? Like, if he's just making sources available, you can probably just throw up a web server somewhere and just grab it. I mean, he already has to have the sources. You know what I mean? If he's building packages, he's got to have the sources anyway. Just a matter of making them available.
Right. And the downside to that is it's going to cost him a little more. I mean, not just in time, but also, you know, server space and bandwidth. But rules is rules.
Slightly,
huh?
Yeah. Slightly, yeah, but I can't see where it would take a whole lot of time to get, you know, to get sources up that you have to have in order to be coding stuff anyway. You know what I mean?
Right. When was that on NewsForge?
That was Tuesday the 27th is what the date shows here. I'll throw the link out into the RSC for you.
All right.
I think we should, you know, we really should get a hold of Warren again anyway and talk with him. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. It's been about a year now, right?
I thought we were on the outs with Warren.
No.
We're not? We aren't? I don't know. I thought that...
No, that was Mark Shuttlesworth that you pissed off.
That's true.
I sent an apology. I sent an apology to Mark Shuttlesworth.
I mean, you got to piss off millionaires. Come on now.
Yeah, it was never my intention to...
It can't go for normal people, huh?
Yeah, no, it was never my intention to you know, any of that, but, you know, if I upset him. But I sent an apology, and I got a response back from the publicist.
From his secretary, right? Yeah.
So
don't ever call me again, damn you. Fuck off.
But,
That in it. Oh, gone. But
I thought when we had him on the show, like, you had sent a thank you to him, and that was the last week. We never heard anything
Warren?
Back from him. Yeah.
Yeah,
he kind of get like an email. No,
we keep getting
lists.
Notes, yeah, from him about new releases. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on the press release list.
Yeah, we're on the, but that doesn't mean we're in good with him.
I'll try to contact him and see if he wants to come back on.
No, I think what happened the line, right after we got a hold of him and had him on the show was when he was having all our problems with switching, like, his developer community site around or stuff like that, and he was on the outs with a bunch of people that way, but I don't think that had anything to do with us at all, so. At least that's how I see it, and I'm sticking to my story, damn it. It's all Alan's fault.
Yeah, I was just too quiet, that's why.
Speak up, Alan.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's one of the other things. How come you're always so quiet? Because usually, I mean, I'm a shy person myself, but if I had half the opportunities you had to speak to all these neat people, I'd at least be throwing in my two cents every now and again.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but Keith, didn't you read his profile on the Tech Show website?
He's creepy.
Yeah.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, so
that's why. He's like, he's looking for intended victims.
I always think it's hilarious that I sit here in front of a microphone every Wednesday night talking to people I've never seen. I've been a ham operator for 10 plus years, and I've talked like six times. I have a lot more opportunities to talk there.
That's kind of like the impotent porn star. He can't get it up, but he wants to be a porn star.
Well, I won't go to the porn star status, but...
Oh, but put a cardboard cutout of Tim McGraw in front of him.
It ain't going to do anything for me, trust me. Yeehaw. The wife, on the other hand.
So basically, are you saying that the only way to get you to talk is having your wife there in front of you?
No, no, that usually gets me to, like, leave the room.
Oh, shit.
Oh, mean, I'm sorry.
She's a Timmy Toucher.
She's a Timmy Toucher. Multiple time Timmy Toucher.
I don't need to know about that.
You don't want to either. It's hilarious.
There's something just wrong about this whole image I'm getting about a life-size Tim McGraw cutout with missing the crotch area in Alan's bedroom, you know?
No.
You think we'll ever get Richard Stallman back on?
I don't know. Who's the one that's looking at it, you know?
I'll see why not.
I'd say they're both getting their fair share.
I don't want anything to do with that.
So, Hallmark,
that whole image.
Hallmark, you got anything else to ask us? Anything you want to say?
Not really any questions offhand. I was wanting to talk about different projects and stuff going on.
Oh, go ahead.
One of the things that kind of talking about the Memphis earlier about being a one-man show, I really don't see how, I mean, that can really be as popular and as prolific as it is with just him doing it. Because I know with... the projects that I run, it's a total pain in the ass to try to get things out on time or with any regularity at all.
What projects are you running?
I'm working on a 3D racing game called Straight Road 3. And I know for me, just the little core people I have, there's constantly drama and other crap going on that is seriously hampering development.
How far into it are you?
We have some running versions up on the website.
What's the website?
But it's streetrod3.com.
Street Rod?
Street Rod.
Oh.
But it's still fairly, despite its age, it's fairly infantile as far as it's how long into development it is. But considering that everyone that's working on it is doing it spare time, and also pretty much started when they're in high school, it's decent.
And you guys are all like 40 years old now, right?
No, I'm 21 now.
Okay.
And, I'm one of the older ones.
Wow, Street Rod 3.
Yeah.
So how far into Street Rod are you? I mean, what if I were to download it tonight and fire it up, what would it do for me?
Okay, you'd be able to race against an AI opponent, you can change parts around in the cars, however, they wouldn't have any effect on things. And also, there are a few different cars that you could race against as far as race in. We're trying to have it being classic muscle cars and stuff. Basically, it's an open source community-run project to try to continue... this one series of games that from the late 80s, early 90s, where you start basically the storyline is you were a kid during your summer break from high school, had money saved up from your job, you can build up a car, go racing for money, and you want to try to be the biggest, baddest racer around. But
looks pretty interesting.
Cool. Gotta check it out, man.
Get the yak moving here. Let's get some more get network play on this thing, huh?
Well, that's one thing I would like to put in, but it's between like people working and their jobs in college and everything. It's just really hectic and slow going.
Guys should drop out, finish the program.
Yeah, but parents and significant others would not like that. And as much as I love the open source community, there are certain things out there that I prefer. I mean, I'm a young male. I like getting nookie.
Enjoy it while you can, because once you get married, it goes away.
A paycheck is nice, too, once in a while.
Wait.
Yeah.
I thought you said, like, some kind of mail application called Nookie. I didn't hear exactly what you said there. Oh, well. Well, Keith, I want, or Helmar, there I go, dropping the docs again. I want to thank you.
It's okay.
Thanks for coming out, man, and listening. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Hopefully, if you do this again, it won't be so problematic.
Oh, no, hey, no problem.
But,
well, you know what? It doesn't matter. We could drop your docs all we want because you haven't posted on the website there.
This is true.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck with the street rod, and we'll touch base with you about that in the near future, I hope.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's really nice getting to talk to you guys.
Thank you for listening.
Same here.
Hey, good talking to you.
Very welcome.
And no, I mean, you're the ones that need to be thanked because we're insignificant and we wouldn't be around here if it wasn't for you guys.
That's not true. Everybody matters, man. We'll do it together.
Hey, you know what? When we're just filling in until the Linux show comes back.
Right.
We've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah. So, thanks a lot there, Helmar. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
All right, bye. All right.
Who's up next? We got the Lord Drakenblut.
Hey, well, you know what? You had said that the asterisk isn't working.
Yeah.
We know for a fact that the asterisk isn't working.
I'm trying to call on my phone, and I keep getting circuits busy.
Are you able to get in, Link?
I haven't tried, but I would be in network, so that's not where we ever have the
problem.
Can you
try dialing with your client, Dan?
Yeah, hold on, Link. I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to try the asterisk.
You want me to just dial cell phone?
You want me to jump on the asterisk, too?
Jump on the asterisk, okay?
You're right there.
All right, bye.
Yeah, my phone, when I call up, I try to dial out. I get the circuit is busy. And then, anybody I call, I tried my cell phone, and it's just, it's no good, man. Maybe we're just eating up too much bandwidth tonight. You know, we got a lot of people on tonight. We got a lot. How many people we got on the
I'm going to try a
46 on RC
all
today.
Circuits are busy now. Yep. Please try your call.
Looks like we're going to have to go with Skype. Skype saves our ass, man.
All circuits are.
Why is that?
I don't know. Something's down. Somebody pissed on the wires.
That's not. That wouldn't be our asterisk, then, would it?
It could be the broad voice. Not broad voice. Broad voice. Could be broad voice. Maybe that's the problem. I wonder if Link is having the same problem dialing up. Anyhow, let's go back to Skype and we'll keep everything going here.
Hold on. Hey there, sweet lips.
Hey, hey.
Can you dial out, Link? With your broad voice?
Can I dial out?
Yeah, with your broad voice account. Can you call out?
Let me see. Knock my phone off the fucking wall here. Hang on.
Whoa!
Watch the language. I can't hear you.
When it comes up with your voice, that means it's not getting.
No,
to the
it's telling me
phone.
All circuits are busy.
Okay, it's not getting to your.
It's rolling
box.
Over to the broad voice voicemail. That's a problem. That means that the broad voice connection's down.
So it's not our asterisk,
yep.
It's no. Broad voice.
Broad voice is
it's broad voice. I'm getting all circuits busy.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so we're going to go back.
We're going to go
to
Skype.
Having problems.
Skype. All Skype.
All right, I'll talk to you in a minute.
Lord Drakenblut's up. Dan, you got his number? I sent it to you.
I'm going
to
see if it's killing, if my connection at home's dead.
Okay. But you have broad voice still? That sucks, man.
You got to call them up and bitch.
I have, actually, in the past. There was an issue. I was talking to Link about it. I tried calling in through my landline at home. I have Verizon at home. And it wasn't connecting. I don't hear anything, Dan.
You don't hear anything what?
Are you calling?
No,
oh, okay. I'm hearing Alan's cell phone through the microphone. That's okay.
No, who are we calling now?
Lord Drakenblood. I just sent you on. I just sent you the number to call.
Wait, do we have to do plus one?
Yes, we do.
You sure it's working, Alan?
You know what? What I was saying, though, was I tried calling with the landline, and it wouldn't work with the landline, but when I called with the cell phone, it would work. Very strange. Sounds like a relay's down or whatever.
We'd have to try it with
a landline.
With a landline.
Yep.
Oh, well.
All right. Let me bring Link back in here. So much work.
Sorry, Dad. Ringy-dingy.
The Linux Link Tech Show.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good.
That's Lord Drakenblood?
Yeah, this is Lord...
Huh?
No, this is Link's wife.
Okay.
How you doing today? Did I call your phone? Your home phone?
No, it didn't ring if you did.
I called Skype, right?
I have no idea.
How am I talking to you?
I don't know. Let me just put my on.
Oh, okay.
It's Skype. It's Skype.
Okay.
All right, because I
see he's got the little Skype thing up.
I was just making sure I didn't call.
Yes, let's play in Dan's mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Lord Drakenblood sounds very femme tonight.
Yeah. So you having keep yourself dry over there?
Trying to, yes.
Flooding doesn't really affect you that much other than traffic-wise, does it?
Actually, we got water in the basement.
Oh. Wow.
Even though up the hill, we got water, and we had a little river running in the backyard, too. So.
Did you go fishing in it?
It rains heavy. No.
Is it a river full of trash?
Did Link get pictures of a McDonald's underwater yet or no?
No, we didn't get down there. Last time we were down there was this afternoon, and they were getting the chairs and tables out. They were bringing in tractor trailers.
So they're not quite underwater yet.
Probably by now they are. Probably by now, because that was all the way, the water was all the way up. This is like 12:30, 1 o'clock. The water was all the way up to McDonald's.
Okay.
And it was up over the little hill that the Best Western or whatever, the Easton Inn built. They had a little hill there, and that was all filled with water. So.
Another flood.
Now's the time to go looting.
Yes.
I don't think.
Let's go wild.
Actually, the Exxon station was cleaning their stuff out this morning. At 6 o'clock this morning, they had all their stuff out of the store.
Well, what's amazing is that these businesses in that area that keep getting flooded out, they keep coming back. They must have tons of flood insurance.
Well, I don't know. The welfare office was built on stilts now.
Yeah,
they put that up. It's a
perfect timing.
Yeah,
too.
It's like on metal. Yeah, it is.
Well, they just knocked out the first floor and made it into a parking lot.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, they took out the whole first floor and turned it into underground parking, or under the building parking, and then just moved everything up to the second floor.
Because when you go, to the Caribbean, the houses are built on concrete stilts because, the hurricanes all the time.
Well, that's what they should do with the McDonald's.
Yeah, that's what they're going to have to do.
But then they got to put in an elevator for all the Weebles downtown. The guy down there on an electric wheelchair that I see in the mornings, driving on the wrong lane of traffic all the time. With his little McDonald's bag.
Is it a little red wheelchair? A little red scooter?
Yeah, it's a little red one.
In Morningstown? Yeah, I think we saw them him today.
Those people are always driving down the wrong side of the road.
I think they should be on the sidewalk. I don't think they should be on the road. They'll get run over.
They should be just run over, yes.
Can you kayak now?
Can you kayak?
Yes, I'm going to try and convince Link. I'm going to try and convince Link to go out as soon as the show's over. Not that we'll be able to see anything, but...
You should kick him down the hill until he falls into the water and floats away.
No, that's not funny. That's not funny.
Wow, it's a mess down there. That's a shame.
Yep.
You guys are going to have to deal with that for the next couple of weeks again, aren't you?
Couple days at least, anyway, through the weekend. Through the weekend. Supposed to crest tomorrow at like 2 o'clock, and it's going to be the second highest flood since Diane came through in 55. So, they're supposed to crest at like 38.9 or something. It's going to be bad. It's going to be up to 2nd Street.
It's going to be a fun holiday weekend.
If you can get anywhere.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's the hard part, being on top of the hill. Trying to get anywhere. You have to go all the way around 78 to try to get anywhere.
Well, so far, there hasn't been any fatalities due to the flooding, has there?
Down in Maryland, yeah. Some girl drowned. She got washed out or whatever from the house.
That's terrible.
Yeah, some
eight. No, there was like three of them, weren't there? They got rescued by. They got rescued and then they got washed out of the truck they were getting rescued by.
Yeah, I think there's been like 12 fatalities so far.
Wow.
It's pretty bad.
Did these people just not get out in time, or did it just rise so suddenly?
Who knows?
Are you ready for Link?
Yeah, go ahead. Put him back on.
You going to get Lord Dragonboot on?
Yeah, okay. We're going to get Lord Dragonboot on.
Thanks, Michelle.
Here we go. Connecting. Is he on the IRC?
Yes, he is.
Hey, good job for my wife. Great. Now, if everybody watches the news, you might be able to catch that one floating down the Delaware, too.
Hey, Lord Dragonboot. How you doing?
Not bad. Enjoying the night.
Yes, good. How's the weather for you?
Storm ripped through here a little bit ago.
Where you at? New England?
Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So you're not...
Lost internet connection a little bit ago, and it screwed up Skype when it crashed.
Uh-oh. Re-download it?
Probably getting close to time to just blitz 90% of my use of Windows down to just for computer games.
But in the very near future, maybe you could just play all your computer games on Linux.
I hope some of the more popular ones I play are already coming across on Linux, like the UT series, the Quake.
So what has you...
go ahead.
I was going to say, what has you hooked over there that's not ported to Linux yet?
Adobe Premiere Pro.
Oh. Well, come on, you got Kino,
that's
right?
That's one of my big... I've tried some of the ones on Linux, and they just don't quite... They're just not quite there yet for my use. I've been using Adobe Premiere for about 4 or 5 years.
Now, what kind of videos are you producing over there?
AMVs, anime music videos, and some stuff for friends and family.
Now, do you make these available to the public?
Some of them are already out there, but the ones for friends and family are pretty sealed. I don't, if they want to put them out on the net, that's their thing, but I don't.
There you go.
What do you guys think for the general masses desktop Linux is missing right now outside of codec support?
Huh. Probably more widespread retail pre-installed systems is a big one. And go ahead.
I brought across two shops in Indiana that I know have sold Linux boxes off the shelf before. One of them's called Eagle Micro, and they just carry some of the most eclectic series of hardware I've ever seen. for a storage size.
Uh-huh.
And the other is a PC Club, and they're actually kind of widespread. I think they only push LensFire, though.
Yeah, I think... that's my opinion. If a person went out and bought a system, came home, plugged it in, and, you know, they just had to put in their internet information, if that's what they had to do, I think, by and large, that would be a successful internet Linux application. And they had the Windows or the multimedia codecs and the Flash support. And I think, you know, they probably wouldn't be too remiss for using OpenOffice or some of the other applications. As time goes on, I think people who use their systems a little more heavily use stuff like Adobe Photoshop or something. If Adobe would port those applications over to Linux, would probably be a good thing to be able to have that choice there. And then after that, probably...
Photoshop starts to bridge that a little bit.
Right.
But the GIMP community at large doesn't like that project.
No, they don't. But then, you know, on the flip side is I hear a lot of Photoshop people who are diehard Photoshop people, you know, don't want to part with that application and use the GIMP instead. They just, you know, rather...
Well, with Photoshop, they are so hooked into, you know, plugins they've gotten accustomed to using.
Right.
Having them, you know, if someone would start porting on, you know, making open source versions of those plugins, we might be able to convert some of those people.
Probably. There's a possibility there. And, you know, probably the other thing I think about is more retail hardware support, specifically scanners. I know, like, if you get a scanner that's supported, all you need to do is basically plug it in and it works.
And piece of shit printers, too, that they
right.
sell.
But more of the generic, you know, the lower-end.
The Wi-Fi cards are the biggest sticking point.
Oh, yeah, definitely Wi-Fi cards.
Especially since a lot more people are running with laptops nowadays.
I mean, I think Intel has helped make some strides towards that with giving access to the Centrino technology, as much as I hate to call it that.
Right.
You know, it may be a marketing thing, but it's one of the few marketing things I think does some good.
And you know what? That's where I think pre-installed Linux systems would have an advantage there, because if you were going to go out and buy a system with Linux pre-installed, a laptop or something, I would expect that the company would have it configured so that the Wi-Fi card already works, and you wouldn't have to really worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, there's one vendor, to my knowledge, out there pushing Linux-based laptops, but as much good as I think they're trying to do there, their prices are a bit steep.
Are you talking about Emperor Linux?
Emperor Linux.
Yeah. There's also Sub 300, too.
I haven't seen those.
There's Sub 300, and then there's also R-Cubed, and there's another one that sells laptops. PCs for Everyone is another one.
What about Walmart?
Walmart. You got Linspire, that's about it. They were selling the Mandrake.
The only Linspire PCs I've ever seen from Walmart, and that could just be a regional thing, have only been online. You haven't been able to, you know, walk into a store and see it.
No, they don't carry it in the stores. It's all online.
Yeah, I don't have them around here either.
And Linux Certified, JZA mentioned Linux Certified for laptops.
I thought, CompUSA or Fry's was selling Linux.
Fry's, yeah.
Fry's.
I was out of Fry's here in Indiana recently, and I didn't see any. Now, that could be the Fry's here. Then again, I only spent about 2 hours in that store, and, you know, with it being about twice the size of your average Best Buy, just 2 hours wasn't enough.
Right. But see, I think, I mean, you got a few applications, you got some hardware issues. If it's pre-installed and people don't have to install it, I think a lot of that, you know, that would tackle a lot of it. And then it's just a kind of a philosophy shift. And you know, people, when they want a new application, instead of running out to the store, will turn to something like, you know, Linspire's Click and Run Synaptic on
Gen 2's Portage.
Right. Well, yeah.
Keep dreaming.
Yeah, as great as Gen 2's Portage is, I don't see like my mom using that to install software. Unfortunately.
I've tried some other ones, and I think Portage, maybe it's just because I've spent more time, you know, building the Gen 2 system I have from the ground up. But Portage just seems easier than most about making sure you've got all your dependencies covered.
The dependencies are good, but you got to wait a while till the damn thing compiles, right?
Right.
Well, they're worse than Slackware.
It's probably easier than Slackware. You don't have to manually go out and search everything.
Right. Yeah. Well, it depends. If there's a binary package available for Slackware, it's, you know...
True Linux packages has a decent collection.
The Gen 2 Portage system is fantastic. I just don't see Joe User taking advantage of it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another issue I think where desktop Linux kind of falls down in some respects is the amount of choices out there is daunting.
Yeah, and that's why it's going to take probably, you know, like, well, you see a lot of distributions these days, like Ubuntu and SUSE, you go out and buy it, there's not a lot of choice in there right off the bat. I mean, there is when you start digging into it, but, SUSE is kind of pushing the GNOME desktop. Ubuntu is the GNOME desktop. When you install like Ubuntu, they have chosen the packages that they think are the best options for you for using the Ubuntu desktop. You know, and
in a lot of ways, I think that's, you know, Ubuntu's a shining star above most for Linux desktop because there are more limited choices at install, and it gets you up and running fast.
Yeah, and they do, and that's one of the complaints that the community has in something like that is who are they to choose what you should run? It should be more flexible, but you can't really have it both ways if you're trying to appeal to a mass audience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Windows, for as screwy as it is most times, you know, you can walk from one Windows machine to another and have a very similar experience and be able to pick up what you're doing and go from one to the next easy enough. With Linux, it can be a little harder with, you know, mildly varying commands from one version to the next.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there is some, homogeneity between Windows machines, but that's what you pay the big bucks for, I guess, huh?
Yeah, but most people never, actually buy a copy of Windows themselves. They, buy a PC, which brings us back to the starting point of it's just not in people's presence enough.
Right.
And with the HPs and the Dells of the world, subsidizing their systems with all that crap they install, it can be difficult, I think, for a Linux machine to compete for price versus, what you get out of the machine.
Right. Right. So, and you're talking about the add-in applications that software companies throw a little kickback to Dell for including on the systems that lowers the price of the hardware, right?
Yeah, like Norton, Music Match, RealPlayer, stuff like that, and then the kickback from Microsoft itself.
Yeah, definitely. And, but on the flip side, a lot of those applications, when they're on there, you actually end up having to, pay to activate those. They're only trial versions, so, it might lower the cost of the hardware in the front, up front, but it's going to increase the cost of running the system in the back end, as time goes on.
But most people never even consider options like that.
Right. And, you see that time and time again, just look at the whole thing between Microsoft Office and OpenOffice, and in an environment where, all they do is a little bit of word processing, they're going to spend like $10,000, $20,000 a year for an Office support license when, and it might not sound like a lot up front, but you know what, 3 years down the line, you're at $60,000, and that's $60,000 more than you pay for open office, you know, stuff like that.
But then you also run into, you know, once again, people deadlock themselves into systems because they've spent a lot of time and effort and, in the end, money on developing macros, which the new office is going to break all of them, but...
Yeah, it's
am I right?
I hear what you're saying. What do you think, Pat?
I agree, man.
And also, you know, one device Patrick loves to hate is another, I think, stumbling point for some people. The iPod. You know, a lot of people love it. You know, I've got two that are in my house. I think they're decent machines. They are decent devices. They work better than most. But most people have no clue, you know, if they got a Linux box that they could use it with.
Yeah, you can.
You
can use it, but
you can't.
It's not as friendly as using it through Windows or Apple, actually, though. That's the unfortunate thing.
I think GTK Pod is trying. They're just... I think if when Songbird gets it together a little more and someone writes a plug-in for that, that will be a good option.
You know,
or have you played with Songbird at all?
No, I haven't played with Songbird. I haven't even checked that out. What is Songbird?
It's a MP3 player that is based off of Zool Runner, the core engine of Firefox.
Okay.
I think they've got a Linux port out now. I'm not 100% sure, but it's a very slick interface, and I think just the plug-in and, you know, the iPod would be working just perfectly under Linux.
Does that... that doesn't communicate with iTunes at all, does it?
No, some of the ones that are pushing just solely MP3s. I can't think of their names right off the top of my head, but...
Yeah, it's at songbirdnest.com. And it looks,
Songbird Nest, I believe.
Yeah, songbirdnest.com. It looks pretty interesting. But again, you know, that's one of the downsides. People buying iPods expect to use iTunes and be able to purchase their music through iTunes. And while you do have that, some of that functionality under Linux, it's not the same.
Well, of course, it's a hack, basically.
Right. And that...
Yeah.
That would probably just...
I think the new SanDisk Sansa player has some promise, since I've heard they're talking to the Rockbox guys.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, it sounds like SanDisk is, you know, working closely with the Rockbox guys to port Rockbox to the Sansa player and make it as seamless as possible.
And that'd be something to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. Also interesting is in Australia, Australian prisons, for their desktops, they're using Nopix now.
In prisons?
Or they're pushing Nopix based stuff. Yeah. To lock down the systems better.
I can see the advantage of using that.
Yep. A CD-based, there's not a whole lot you can do to modify it.
You won't be able to hide the CD, you know, during the body cavity searches.
I don't know. If you're like a bottle guy, you could probably hide a whole stack of CDs up there.
They never know that.
Lord Dragonblood.
Well, they could watch. They could check out Meat Spin.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off, but I think we're going to go to the next caller because we've got so much time and we want to get to more people.
All right. Well,
thanks for calling, man. We really appreciate it.
Can I get one more thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
Can I get one more thing out? I just wanted to throw out that I got a podcast going now. You know, media cast, whatever you want to call it, after listening to you guys and some other people, and it can be found podcastincubator.com/DRA.
Cool.
What's it called?
Draken Media Cast. And I wanted to contact you, Dan, at some point, and I'll throw it out there for the whole world to hear. I'd like to have you on as a guest at some point.
Sure.
No problem. All right. Well, you guys have a good night.
You know, can you send me Bye. Information about your podcast so I can put it on the main site? Our main site?
Yeah. I'll IM it to you. Bye.
All right, great. Thank you. Talk to you later. Oh, he hung up for us.
Okay. Next we got...
Next we got Mina.
John Piporek.
Hold on.
Who's itching to get on.
Oh, shit. Oops. Language.
What's wrong?
Huh, I didn't do the language tonight.
Yeah.
Usually
you said a bad word.
Body mouth. Body. Alan's rubbing off on me. Okay.
That's just wrong.
John. I sent you the number to call.
Yes, I know. I keep forgetting to put these in before.
Dan, you're killing the show, man.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, hopefully John's ready to go.
I hate it when I add these things. I can never find them. Oh, here we go. I'm going to add this next person in right away.
That sounds good.
Hi, you reached John and Kelly Piporek. Please leave us a message and we will call
you. Next.
Hang up, man. You snooze or lose.
Hi, this is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show.
It's a little late. I hung up already.
Just calling you to tell you that, you know...
You snooze or lose, baby.
I'll call
you.
Let's go to Andrew.
We'll try John again in a little bit.
Yep.
Andrew.
Andrew.
Hi there.
Hey, you're the next contestant on the Linux Link Tech Show. It's the Linux Link Tech Show.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. You told us to call you.
You forgot about us.
Yeah, you just called me at a weird time. I'm driving on my way into work.
Oh, do you want us to call you back later?
If you give me about 15 minutes, be golden.
All right. Let's go to court time, then. We'll do that.
We'll call you back, Andrew.
All right, thanks much.
All right, no problem.
Next, let's talk to Gorkon, man.
Yeah, put Gorkon on.
I'll call the exact opposite of the phone number he wants me to call. Watch that. Oh, no, I got it. All right, I got all these numbers in here now. Invite him to the conference.
Gorkon.
There are some sad pictures on this. See that palm set I was showing you?
Hello?
Gorkon. What's happening, man?
Oh, not much. Just dodging tornadoes. Thankfully, nothing bad happened here. We just had a little hail.
Hail, that's fun.
Hanging up. Columbus over there.
I heard your question or comment or whatever on the Jack Attack episode yesterday, which was, I think, last week's. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah. The big, long thing on the Jack Attack.
Yes.
Yeah. God, I don't even remember what it was about. Well, we all know that as a podcast now, Life in Ohio podcast. In fact, I just posted one today. So,
How's that going along?
I had an interview.
Oh, you had an interview with?
I can't hear you, man.
I'm sorry, you said you had an interview with?
Well, I didn't have any interview. I had did a review of the movie Cars. I took my son Luke, who's 7, I took him to that to see that movie. Outstanding movie. I was really, really, really pleased. He really liked the movie. I can recommend that for everyone. And then I'm actually also, I've got a webpage open here on my eBay auction. I'm selling a PDA, and I'm going to go in the one of the Linux PDAs, either the Nokia 770 or the Zaris C1000, I think. So.
When did the Zaris C1000 come out? How long has that been out for?
About a year, I think. I know it's Japan only, but there's plenty of places like geekstuffforyou.com. They have it for $333, which is not terrible. And it's converted to English, so... seems like a pretty good deal. The only thing that concerns me a little bit on that is whether it would have the U.S. Charger. Then there is somebody on the IRC saying about the 3200 that has a 6-gig hard drive.
That's pretty slim.
That's like 585.
Work a few more hours.
That's just a little out of my price.
Yeah, I paid less for my laptop.
Yeah, work a few more hours.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I keep
a few more hours.
The Nokia 70s, right? Which are, well, how much are they running? Almost $400, right?
$350, $380, I've seen.
Like, I spent $400 on my laptop, you know what I mean?
I don't know what's
I think there should be some kind of rule.
Link was just bitching about how he spent $400 on a laptop, and looking at the Nokia itself is about, what, $450?
Right.
No,
$350.
$350.
Yeah. My biggest beef about that is RSM, the reduced size MMC. Yeah, I don't have any of that. You know, I have to go buy that, and I have a gig SD card sitting around, you know what I mean? I know Nokia uses that in their phones, but we'll see how it works. I don't know. You know,
That's hilarious. What you need is a GP2X, man. A GP2X.
GP2X.
100 and what? $150.
$99.
Hook you up. Oh yeah, it's like 99, right? Well, you know, $150. I'm saying, getting.
Yeah, but what kind of input options are you gonna have on that?
There's a joystick. Actually, I heard that you can hook a USB device up to it. There's a you can do like a wireless USB device.
USB keyboard?
No, I don't know about a keyboard, but I know you can. But yeah, if you're looking for like a PDA type thing, or that's probably not the option to go with. I'm still waiting for all these. PDA and cell phone companies keep talking about embedded Linux on their devices, like Palm supposedly going to a Linux platform. But you know, I'm talking with the Palm Source guys at Linux World, you're looking still at least a year off for that, they said, which stinks because I want one now.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, because my current PDA, which will go away here in a couple hours, is a Pocket PC, and I'm just sick of it. I'm just, you know, there's things that Microsoft, there's been the problems since the year 2000 that still have not been fixed. So I'm like, oh, heck with it, you know. And Palm, you know, let's not go there. You know, they promised and promised and promised things, and you know, it's still like 6 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, we'll see what happens in the next year. Maybe next year will be Linux on the Palm. The year of Linux on the Palm.
That might be good. Well, and then there's the UMPC or micro PCs like the Sony UX series, which look. I guess there's one going to come out. It's a full desktop style machine that's actually going to have 16 gigabytes of flash RAM.
How much are those going to run?
They're pricey. I think that one's going to supposed to come out around 1800. Yeah, as much as a full laptop. It's like, good God, what do they think? You know, who do they think is going to buy these things? You know,
people that buy Apples.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think it's going to buy those doctors' offices, vertical markets.
Probably, and these are obviously going to be running Windows, not Linux, right?
Well, who's to say? There's nothing that Sony is putting in these. I know they already have the 180. If it's not out yet, it should be done out soon. That's supposed to actually have Edge integrated into it. But it's, you know, it's just a PC platform. You probably could run Linux on it, and considering that there's not an awful lot of tablet style specific stuff in it. You know, there's an integrated keyboard in the UX 180. You know, so you can do, you probably, as long as you can hook a CD-ROM to it and boot off of it, you probably could load Linux on it.
I'm sure you could. Or it won't be too long, and when it's released, that you will be able to do that. And that, you know, that's the thing that gets me is I look at like PDAs, and like you could get a PDA with a phone, and there just isn't that one device that really, you know, excites me or says, you know, I definitely want to get that. Like the closest I guess would be the Trio, but. If only the Trio ran like a Linux OS, then I think it would be perfect for what I'd want to use.
Supposedly
it for.
They're going in that direction.
But yeah, that's what I see. But you're still looking at least a year off.
Well, I think probably the biggest thing, and you know, Apple made an attempt with SyncML. Syncing just sucks.
Ooh, drop out.
What happened there?
Good question.
Syncing applications is so different from the two. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there's multi-sync out there and other projects like that, but, you know, in the end run, I've had nothing but problems. I've tried to sync. Like, a good example is I was able to hook up one of my previous pocket PCs up to Linux and sync it in Evolution, but all of a sudden, all the appointments in Evolution were like, forward in time like 3 hours or something like that. You know, it's just
Novell, to plug Novell there, they're supposedly working on a lot of syncing capabilities under Linux, and their new GroupWise Enterprise Edition has supposedly the capability of syncing and communicating with over, I think it's over 100 different mobile devices, which, you know, that's pretty cool. And hopefully some of that will roll back into the Linux community.
Hopefully.
Yeah, they, where GroupWise, where I work for Columbus State Community College here, and we use that. Thankfully, I don't have to administer that. My primary area is with our ERP system. Running on top of AIX on this big honking 16 processor monster, and actually we're buying another one. So, I mean, the ERP is just a monster. I mean, anytime you get into ERP, it's just, you know.
What's ERP for our listeners who don't know, like Pat?
Enterprise Resource Planning.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it means. Supposed to integrate everything, but yet people keep adding systems all around it to work around the ERP system. I'm like, well,
a lot of companies use that to like integrate, like, you know, their HR with like their business side stuff, and you know, it's supposed to be like a seamless, you know, application to tie all your systems across the whole, you know, the whole breadth of what you do at a company.
Well, and then another thing that recently popped up, I don't know if you heard, well, we all heard about the VA and all that, but did you guys hear about OU here in Ohio?
No.
With a security breach.
No.
Actually, not one, several. And from what I understand, there's at least four people that work for Ohio University that have lost their jobs, and the president's probably going to lose his job, too.
Oh, that's is that another one of them, you know, someone stole my laptop kind of things?
No, this is actually, they had a big file worth of data sitting right on an open web server.
Speaking of Ohio, Gorkon, are you ready to have us over for a few days?
Yeah, Ohio Lakes Fest is coming up, yeah. I don't think my wife would appreciate you guys.
That's
here,
what you're
going
to see.
I'll hang out with
right?
you guys.
All right. Cops and
pizza over at Gorkon's house. That's it. See, Linux Fest is a Saturday before I'm due to fly to Virginia. And I already told my wife, forget it. You know, I'm not going to be around. We'll do something family the weekend before, you know. But I said, you know, I'm going to hang out with Lake and the guys from the shows. I drive her nuts on Wednesday. I'll sit in the living room on the couch with my headphones on. I'll start cracking up at some silly thing, maybe Dan farting or something. I don't know. And then she's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, what do you think?
So what you're saying is she already doesn't like us.
Actually, she was on the show. Do you remember way back when you guys were first toying around with Skype? Pat probably won't remember, but I know Link will. I was sitting in my office, and you guys called me and on my Mac, no less. And my Mac's integrated microphone picked it up all the way across the room.
Oh, man.
I do remember that, yep.
Where are you going to in Virginia?
I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Yeah, where are you going in Virginia?
Where am I going to Virginia?
Where? Where in Virginia?
Oh, where? Oh, Reston. I'll be heading.
You're going to be Reston in Virginia.
And it's by...
No, he just cut out again. His wife must be pulling the plug on him.
No. Well, actually, what I'm talking on is Tyler's digital phones. And he's going to arrange we're decided to take a trip. I'm surprised that it's still up. But yeah, we use this product called Colleague by a company called Datatel. And they basically have this technical week, and they put us up at the Hyatt in Reston, Virginia, right there in Reston Town Center.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually, you know, for something that's work-related, it's actually not too bad. I mean, you know, I learn a lot about the product, and I at least get the message from the company that they're doing better. I mean, they're not trying to... Right now, it's all based on this proprietary language they call, I believe, Envision or something like that. I don't know. It's just a goofy thing. But they're working towards, I think they're going to do a lot of stuff with Java.
Yeah, Java's big now. Where I'm working now, we're really getting into that lately.
I'm finding they're not really too impressed with their product, but, I mean... At least it's one of those things where it's getting better. It's not like it's getting worse, you know.
Let me ask you, Gorkon, how is that Linux, that Ohio Linux Fest? It sounds like it's a pretty cool show. You went last year, right?
Actually, I've never been.
No, you didn't go?
I wanted to go. Well, usually something came up or I was out of town. I think last year I was out of town.
I think Gomer said he was going to that. He went to it.
Judah might have said that he's gone before.
Gomer X, he definitely went.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I can just see the headlines in the Columbus paper, you know, the day after. Entire staff and fans of the tech show arrested, you know, for...
I'm looking forward to coming out there, man. I've never been to Columbus, actually.
Columbus is, you know, everyone, and I still don't get why people call Columbus a cow town. I've lived here for like 12 years. I'm like, I ain't seen no cows.
I don't remember seeing any when I was out there.
Far east, west, or south.
Right. You have to go west, north. Dublin or something like that before you see any. You know,
there's no cows out there. Out that direction anymore either. I mean, it's like. That's probably one of the biggest things. There's sprawl everywhere. Columbus is actually one of the largest growing cities here. And we have a shopping center named Easton here, too, so. That's Les Wexner's. Les Wexner is one of the bigwigs here in Columbus that owns the Limited, Victoria's Secret, and all that. And they started this thing out just north of the airport called Easton.
You know what? Is the old state prison still standing out there?
No, actually, that's. I think you're talking now on Spring Street. That's right. Where Nationwide Arena is, in the whole arena district.
Now, the state prison down there, and then there's a factory on the other side of the railroad tracks called Union Fork and Hoe. This is really funny.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Because I was a security guard there, right? And we used to call it UF and Hoe all the time. It was hysterical.
that does sound funny.
Think you were in a cup?
Yeah, I was a rent-a-cop. In fact, I was an officer. I was a well-paid rent-a-cop.
But, you look at, that whole area is totally different now. You got the Nationwide Arena where the Columbus Blue Jackets play. I actually remembered when they were having a contest for naming the team, and the other paper said it should be called the Columbus Mad Cows. And I actually got that as a suggestion, too. But, yeah, we suck. We didn't even make the playoffs again this year, but we came as close as we've ever had for hockey. Anyway, I can't afford to go down there to watch a game. It costs so much money. It's like $9 for a hamburger at the arena.
Yeah, that's typical.
Gorka, that's just the burger. Yeah,
Gorka, we're definitely gonna get together when we come out to Ohio, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's lots to do. I mean, like I said, the convention center is actually right by the arena, so there's tons of places to go eat there and hang out and drink. There are micro breweries there too. Gordon Biersch.
I'm there, man.
Big one. Yeah, I mean it's a good time.
Cool.
There's lots of there's actually probably a better place to go is a place just down the street called the Elevator. And they're pretty good, too, from what I understand.
Cool, man. Well, we're definitely going to hook up, man, when we come out there.
Okay.
Not to cut you off, but we got a couple more people we want to talk to before we end the show. We want to end it before 9 o'clock. Gorkon, thanks for talking.
I'm good.
Man. Take care.
Hey, no problem, man. Have a good one.
Same to you, man. That was Gorkon.
All right, well, we
try Andrew?
We should probably call Andrew and then John. Because we said we'd call Andrew back in 15 minutes.
You want to try John first?
Well, no, it's been 15 minutes.
All right, let's try Andrew then.
And then we're going to go back to John.
And if we get an answering machine, we're going to call Judah.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Andrew?
How you doing, Andrew?
Hey. Hey, this is Andy Schaaf from Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Who's you guys been up to?
Trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So what do you got to talk about?
Huh? A little bit earlier from work.
So what's on your mind tonight, Andrew?
So, how's the Linux world been out in Pennsylvania?
It stinks.
Stinks? Do you guys have any of that flooding problems that I've been hearing?
Oh, yeah. Check out Link's blog.
Yeah, a little bit. We're gonna do 38 feet here, I think.
above the normal river stages by 2 p.m. tomorrow. 39 feet. There you go.
Yeah, we're going to get rain, but nothing like what you guys can get. Not anywhere near it.
When I was in South Carolina, we got a little bit of drizzle, and it was a little bit of downpour to one day, and then that was pretty much it.
Ain't too bad. Ain't too bad. Yeah, in the Linux world, I've been now working on getting a Myth TV box going. That's been fun.
Which route did you try?
What was that?
Which way did you try to install it?
Well, I started out using NotMyth, and I ran into issues with my TV tuner card and most painfully my Unichrome 2 VGA card. So looks like I'll be switching to an NVIDIA card for doing the TV out and playing around with kernel module parameters to get the tuner working correctly.
Well, you can spring for the 350 that has a TV out.
What was that?
The 350 card has a TV out plug. That's more money, though.
I'm using a Hapag PVR-150.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's what I have.
And you still have problems with it?
Well, I just got, because I went and ordered a MSI all-in-one solution for, on a small form factor chassis. And that's what I had built on at Unichrome. And then I had a PVR-150 laying around. I figured a PVR-150 shouldn't be too much effort, but I just got that in the mail last week, Tuesday or Wednesday. I've just been so bogged down with time to really sit down and devote a couple hours to it.
Take some vacation time and get that box up and running.
As much as I love my job, vacation is not something that's easily acquired here. They give you your first year a week, second year another week, but they steal it away from you for a shutdown. So
if you have a shutdown, probably, you lose vacation days?
Yeah, they force you to suck up any vacation time.
I didn't hear what you said because Alan's big mouth.
I'm sorry.
Stop his gums.
Now, what did you say?
Yeah, well, we got two shutdowns. Another one coming up soon, so I'll probably have to wait for that one to really get down and deal with it.
I get the same thing. I get 3 weeks, but I got to give up 1 week for a shutdown at the end of the year.
Yeah, we got one earlier in the year and then another one later in the year. The last one's like last week of July or something. Both maintenance and cleanup stuff. They're rearranging everything in our manufacturing plant this time, so see how things go there.
Now, is shutdown scheduled? Like, you know when it happens?
Yeah, we've got it marked down on calendars.
Okay.
One was for inventory for the end of, second quarter? First quarter? I forget now. And then the other one's another inventory and maintenance one. They get to go through and PM every machine they got in the plant.
So what do you do there?
So, I work at the General Electric healthcare division, making all of the tubes that would go into like your MR and CT, VCT scan units in hospitals. I personally weld up all of the tube components.
Awesome. Is it a fun
job? Yeah, different job.
You enjoy it?
Yeah. Nice crew. Management's pretty easy to deal with, especially on third shift. Most of the people in management just let us be. So,
did you work?
Smoke breaks is needed.
Do you work third shift or do you work a swing shift?
No, it's actual third. It's actual third. 10 central to 6:30 in the morning.
Now, do you have a family?
Yeah, I got a kid, girlfriend. They hate it, but...
They hate that? To say that, that must take a lot of time out. So is it tough for you, then, to adapt to, like, weekends? To be, up when everybody else is?
Yeah, it would have been tough. I just made it a habit to stick with the same schedule.
Uh-huh.
I basically sleep in the morning whenever I don't have side work going on. I do a little computer maintenance for a few companies on the side, and yeah, I just sleep in the morning then.
Cool. Good night, all.
It makes it the easiest adaptation without having to screw around too much.
That's neat. So,
Curiosity, do you guys have any future plans? Oh, continue.
Future plans for what?
For getting any speakers with regards to the whole FreeSpire thing. And then future, once all of that gets ironed out.
Pat dropped the ball on that, I think.
Well, we've talked to Kevin Carmody twice. I'm sure we'll talk to him again once that gets rolling.
Yeah, after the whole... did we talk to him since FreeSpire was announced?
No. When we talked to him, it was at Linux World, and it was like maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks before they made that big announcement.
Right. Yeah,
I don't think it was 2 weeks. I think it was maybe 1 week.
Yeah, we'll have him on again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was curious about how that's all going to be panning out.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it'd be a different whole culture than the whole Linspire culture is.
Yeah, I'd be interested in speaking with him. We got Chris DeBona up next week and Pamela Jones from Grok Law coming in July.
Oh, neat.
So
neat.
We got some pretty cool guests coming up.
Well, you guys always had some pretty good guests. That's the one thing that kept me listening.
I don't know why
good, choices
I don't know why they want to talk to us. I mean, you know, we're farting and belching into the mic.
Because they're farting and belching right along.
Everybody farts, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in my opinion, you guys have the best Linux podcast out there.
Thanks.
Thanks. You haven't heard the Linux Action Show yet, have you?
That's a cool show, man.
Damn. No, I haven't. It's called the Linux Action Show?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Definitely. They're really good.
Yeah, I just got listening and finally caught up to your Logger. That's a pretty good show, too.
Oh, thank you.
Danny, are you going on a hiatus with that, or are you going to continue
that?
No,
we just released one last week.
I got to come on with that, man. We got to talk something.
Talk trash.
Yep.
Where are you going, Alan?
The bad mouth Linux package management systems.
Yeah.
Zaphon's going to get all pissed off at me again.
There we go. Andrew, we got one more person we got to call tonight who's excited about getting on. We want to thank you for coming on tonight, and we'll probably talk to you again sometime soon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You guys have a good one. Take care.
Man.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Going to try John again?
Oh, thinky boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Wait, let me see. Am I still recording? Yeah. It's going.
John doesn't come on. Maybe we can...
He's on. He's waiting. He's like...
Hello?
John.
Yeah.
How you doing?
It's Dan. All right.
Dan from the Tech Show.
Hey, Dan.
It's the Tech Show.
It's... and Link and Alan, who's leaving, and...
Hey, guys. Yeah.
What's up, man?
Hey.
Not much.
Sorry we missed you before.
Oh, it's all right. I was stepping out to get the mail, and my wife was yelling, "Hey, they're calling!"
What part of the world do you live?
What was that?
What part of the world do you live in?
California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right near Experts Exchange.
Oh, yeah. Did you email us that you know the guy?
Yeah, I'm the guy.
You're the guy who knows.
Aha.
He's not. Now, John is not the Expert Exchange guy, but he knows the guy who's Expert
Exchange. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know him, and it's something we don't talk about.
That is something.
Yeah, what's going on in the feed right now? That's weird. I must have not got the right thing.
BinRev cuts off at 10:30.
Yeah, we got to cut off at 10:30 from BinRev, and then another show comes on.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
And
sorry.
We're not supposed
that's
to.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we try not to go over our BinRev time. because then that's not fair to Bill Revan and other people. But, you know, it happened tonight because...
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense, yeah.
We didn't stick with our time frames. But, you know how it goes.
Bad Dan.
Yeah.
Back to Patty's.
Hey, I wanted to tell you that I really liked the show that had the guy that was doing, I think, K through 12 software on education. And I know, Dan, you work at a school district,
yes.
Right? Yeah. And since I work at a college here in California, Linux and education is something kind of near and dear to my heart.
How's that working out for you with Linux and education? I mean, you guys implementing anything specifically over there, or?
Yeah, well, there's a few of us that run Linux as our desktops, but unfortunately, most are Windows. It's kind of funny. We have a lot of Solaris and Linux administrators, and most of them run Windows desktops, which baffles me, but I keep trying to encourage them to try Linux. We have quite a large deployment of Oracle on Linux, so that's probably our biggest thing is our Oracle email system. It's called Oracle Collaboration Suite, and then a bunch of Oracle 10G databases.
Ah. So you guys using any, looking towards like using OpenOffice at all or anything?
I use it, and some colleagues do, but not campus-wide. They don't. It's still one of the problems and kind of one of the things that I was curious on your guys' thoughts is Microsoft makes a master enabling agreement with all the California state universities, and they get a really low cut on software. And so basically, you know, the Linux edge of being lower cost is eliminated because at least at the local university, maybe at the higher ups, they don't they could see a difference in price, but you know, down at my level, you know, a fellow colleague or whatever, since he can use Windows XP, or a student can get Windows XP for $20, there's not much argument to, you know, hey, go out and try Linux, at least for the low cost or free aspect of it. So that's something that makes it difficult for it to penetrate our system, because they end up having this huge agreement where they can, oh, we can install Microsoft SharePoint and we can install Visual Studio, and that's what we'll use as developer tools, because the CSU system decided to you know, go into this agreement. And so it's hard to say, well, hey, check this out, and I'm a software engineer and I prefer developing on Linux, but you know, a lot of these people are pretty used to, you know, Microsoft Visual Studio and whatnot, so it's hard to get them to look at like OpenOffice or although they are ironically they do use Firefox, so you know, that's nice that they, you know, use an open source browser rather than Internet Explorer.
That's how they get you right there, huh? They suck you in with that little we'll give you the discounts and we'll get everybody under an envelope and
So you run into the whole business where is it difficult to explain to them that you know they use Firefox, which is an open source program, because it's better, and you know they really should consider using OpenOffice and Linux also for the same reasons, you know?
Yeah, I think some are starting to get it, but you know, it's more prevalent in the news and media, and so that you know, that's it penetrating to some extent, but it's very slow. I mean, I'm sure Dan knows that, you know, it takes forever for our school system to change. It's a lot of bureaucracy, and then it's just they can't maneuver as quickly as a private company could, you know. And so
private companies aren't any better. But the thing that I'm impressed about is the fact that you say that you have, you know, people there who are using Linux desktops, and that's, you know,
yeah,
that's a really good, yeah, step in the right direction anyway.
Yeah, it is. There are some wins, and we just, oddly enough, had a meeting about development tools and kind of what we were using, and at the meeting it was validated that Linux was an acceptable desktop, and that this year is the first year they're going to send me to Linux World in San Francisco. So, you know, so that to me was a good step forward. It's real slow going. You know, it's tough when there's opinions like, oh, it's not enterprise ready, or open source isn't, or Linux isn't, or, you know, whatever. It's not. And you know from using it, it is enterprise ready. In fact, it's probably more enterprise ready than many of the products that, you know, proprietary software companies put out. But just because there's a name behind it, or, you know, and they think, oh, you know, it's Oracle, it's great, it's got to be, you know, the best thing. And
the response that I get is, who do we sue if we have to? If there's a problem? With open source, we can't sue.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who do you sue?
Yeah.
You can't sue the company, commercial companies, you know, to begin with. I mean, you're not going to get anywhere.
But that's the mentality, you know. You have these compliance people, you know, they're a bunch of lawyers. That's all they care about, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, there is definitely that, like a really classic case of that is, just recently, our web development group, we use an open source portal framework, which is good, but they went out and purchased a wiki.
Why
would you buy a wiki? I couldn't believe it. The lady managing the group that bought a wiki, she wanted some sort of maintenance agreement. Somebody she at least thought that she could go to and, you know, hound and get them to make the software right. So that perception is definitely there, but it isn't valid. I know of a case where, a thing I'm working on called Blackboard, which is a popular learning management system. We had failures for a year, and the vendor could not figure out what the problem was. And without going into great detail, over and over, the vendor looked at it, and the maintenance agreement was worthless if your server is crashing every week, at least twice a week, and students can't get their work done. So who cares, you know, how much you're spending on maintenance if that vendor can't deliver and make it right. And I know from my experience in the open source community, you go on to, say, Linux Questions and ask a question there, or you Google it, or you email the author of the software, and I don't know, but what I see is much more rapid response and quickness of getting something resolved, and much different than, you know, any maintenance agreement, at least that I've experienced, has. I mean, I don't know what your guys' experiences are like, but mine, they've been pretty rotten.
No, you know, and I agree with you, and that kind of, you know, when I hear people saying about that, you're making a comment, oh, well, you know, who do we sue when it goes bad? You can't really sue the other companies to begin with. Well, we want to be able to get somebody on the phone for tech support. And time again, you know, the people I get in contact with the tech support, unless it's a hardware thing, like if I call Cisco or Dell about a hardware issue, yeah, they're going to send me something out, you know, the next day or whatever, and you get a good response. But when it comes down to a software issue,
forget about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be sitting there going back and forth for, you know, sometimes months at a time.
Yeah.
And it's you know, I haven't found it, and I want to say any better, but I'd rather say, you know, I haven't found it anywhere near the support that I get in the open source community.
Yeah.
Not to mention that, you know, if you already have if you already have developers and people who understand code employed by your company, and you're using an open source product, you can look at the damn code and fix it yourself if it's taking too long to get a result from somewhere else. You know, and you can't do that with closed source proprietary stuff.
Yeah.
People just don't want to send you that code, you know?
Yeah. And I've as a developer, I've done that many times with different products, different open source projects that I've tried out, and there was something I didn't like, and I've really leveraged that. So for me, it stinks when I'm interfacing with a proprietary system. You know, I can't. You know, it's very difficult to make forward progress or to, you know, work around limitations, whereas something that's open source, as a developer, it's very attractive to me. You know, I can, hey, this isn't quite like I want it, I'll fix it, or I'll submit a patch, or whatever the case may be, or maybe someone else has done it in the community, and everyone benefits.
Yeah, it's a shame.
The other thing, I was curious of what your guys' experiences with one of the things that really hooked me on Debian, and lately I use Ubuntu, or however you guys say it, but is Debian package management. I started my life, and I know you guys are big Slackware fans, so I started life as a Linux life as a Slackware 96 user, and way back, and that was, I actually got X Windows running on a VLB, those VESA local bus,
right,
motherboards, a 486 DX4100, I think, and I had X Windows running, and life was, it helped me through college, but since then, one of the things that's really hooked me on Debian, and I was curious, you know, for you guys, since I kind of left, you know, Slackware and Arch, and, you know, I haven't really explored too much, is being able to downgrade packages. In Debian, I went one time to install, actually, my first Debian experience was LibreNet, which is no longer, unfortunately, but I upgraded KDE, and things weren't working right, and I was able to easily downgrade back to the KDE I had. And that's something I haven't really found in any, I tried Gentoo out, and it was difficult to do that. At least to pick versions of something. You could upgrade easy, but, downgrade. So anyways, I was curious, you know, is that something that's improving in other distros, or is Debian still got the edge there?
You know, honestly, the only time I have ever done that was on Slackware.
Oh.
I downgraded in SUSE using Smart. I accidentally added the testing repository, and it started picking up libraries for the latest version of KDE, and it wound up breaking KDE to a certain degree, so what I wound up doing was downgrading back to the original packages, and it worked fine after that.
Oh, sweet.
But I like Debian-based distros myself. I like apt-get a lot.
Yeah, I've never downgraded myself. And if I think the only time I've ever come close to doing that was under Slackware, and that's such a, you know, a small and contained system that I just, you know, pulled out the packages and reinstalled them manually.
Yep, that's what I did too. I had one package. I just removed the package and installed the old one back in, and I was good to go, you know.
But I could see how that could be problematic in a package management system that keeps track of dependencies, particularly something like Gen 2, when you know to downgrade something, now you got to recompile all that stuff that you compiled. That could be a little problematic.
Well, it's 11 o'clock. You guys,
yeah, want to
wrap it up?
Well,
we'll finish with.
Go ahead, John. John, sorry.
I was just going to say I haven't had to do it that often, but especially when I'm trying out, you know, like a rogue repository, it's nice to be able to try out their package, and if it's not what you want, it's quick. It's pretty easy to go back to something that's stable, that you know is okay. So. That's what, you know, that's just something I appreciated.
That is a good thing. You know, and personally, when I'm not using Slackware or Arch, I think Debian's package management system is phenomenal.
It's good stuff.
Phenomenal.
Good stuff, and yet I still don't run a desktop running Debian.
Debian.
I have not... You know what I mean? Like, I've used Debian-based distributions and run a desktop on them, like, you know, Ubuntu or whatever. But I have not run a Debian desktop yet. I'm going to have to do that now.
I ran Debian, Debian desktop for about a year or so.
Just out of principle.
And I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. The only thing is, I mean, I was running on Stable, and at the time on Stable, it was fairly stable, believe it or not. I hear since then, though, that it's become a little bit more messier, and people have had problems recently, you know, the last year or so with unstable. Well, a lot of people, what they do is they run testing, and you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get fairly new packages, and things tend not to break as much. Or you could just run Ubuntu. That works too.
Yeah. I used to pin myself to testing, but... around the GCC 3.4 to 4.0 days, in running a desktop, I really needed, you know, the latest GNOME, the latest KDE, so I couldn't handle managing the, you know, and mixing an unstable and testing release. And then, of course, Ubuntu came along, and so I jumped on that and have found that, you know, at least for a desktop side, works well for me.
Yeah, I really like Ubuntu. And in fact, I've almost contemplated switching back over to Ubuntu on my main desktop, but I really love Arch.
Oh, Arch is nice.
But it's so tough.
The problem with Arch for me was it they did an upgrade, and it really screwed up my laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing when I think about it is, the only thing I don't like about Ubuntu is the long release cycles. Like, if a version of Firefox comes out 2 months after the latest version,
we'll make
Ubuntu,
it into the main repository.
Yeah, you gotta wait until it comes. Woo!
Or you do either Easy or what's the other one there? The installer to get everything on there. What the hell's it called? Automatics. You can use either one of those to get the new.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know what I do with Firefox is I run my own install of that, because you just gotta have. I don't use Debian package management or Ubuntu repositories. Because you know, when there's a security fix and whatnot, I want to be able to get that right away. So that's one that I stray away from.
I do the same thing. I run my own static Firefox and Thunderbird out of my own home directory.
I kind of use
just
a,
for the same reason. I want to have the newest stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I kind of use an 80-20 rule. I when I was searching for a home distribution that I could really like, I wanted one that could do 80% was what I, you know, I would want, and 80 to 90%. But I knew there was no way there was going to be one that would have 100% of what I want, you know, out the box. So that 10%, you know, you just gotta do it yourself. You know, either build your own installs or, you know, whatever, or get outside repositories. But there's just no way to at least to get it exactly dialed in, you know, 100%. So I try and get the most, and that's what, you know, what I've appreciated about Debian repositories is they're so big. So most of what you want is probably there.
Yeah. Such good stuff. Such good stuff. Anything else you want to add tonight, John? Because we got to get wrapping it up.
Yeah, I hear you there. I know it's late for you. So, no, that was pretty much it for me. I'd shout out to you guys. Appreciate your show and appreciate you letting me be on. And I look forward to more interviews and more episodes.
Cool. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for talking, man.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, have a good night.
Good night.
You too. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well. It's getting late. We're going to wrap it up here. Should I do some frappers?
We have it, episode 146, right?
That's right. Should I do some frapper shout-outs? Take us out?
Yeah, go ahead. Do some flapper shout-outs.
We've got John Campbell in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. Brandon Krisham from Las Cruces, New Mexico. River Rips in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates. And I think we got like one more. We got Christophe Van Lecker and Veteran East Flanders, Belgium. And that's it. Not too much this week. We're talking to Chris DeBona next week, so that should be a good show. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Google,
yeah.
Google Earth, and Picasso, and everything in between. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It was called to our attention over the IRC that Ultraman Series 1 will be released on DVD in less than 2 weeks, I think, July 18th. So,
really?
Ultraman fans, there you go.
Ultraman.
Yeah, I think this is Ultra 11, if I'm not mistaken. So, looks like some good stuff.
What, you know what, Dan? What about the new... isn't there supposed to be another release of, the Marvel Superheroes cartoon set? What was that one that we just watched? It was
Avengers?
A few months ago they released it.
You talking about the Ultimate Avengers?
Was it the Avengers? It might have been the Ultimate Avengers, yeah. There's supposed to be some more...
You mean the movie?
Some more superheroes that are released in animated.
You talk about the Ultimate Avengers sets. that was just released about 2 months ago? I think in February.
Right. And there's supposed to be more of them.
Yeah, Ultimate Avengers 2 is August 2006. Iron Man is October 2006, and then Doctor Strange is February 2007, according to the thing in the inside.
Aha, good stuff. Got to get down.
Look forward to that. Anything else you guys want to add before I shut the Skype down and play?
I'm good, man.
Play some music out.
Another show, another week.
Another show in the hole.
See you next week, boys.
That's it.
And girls.
Good night, everybody. Hopefully my mom will be, floating down into New York Harbor. Morning. So.
Good night.
All right. Thank you, Link. We'll talk to you later.
Good night. All right,
bye. All right, Pat, I'm going to play us out with a song from Jonathan Colton this week, Drinking With You.
Cool.
Before I play, do you want to add anything?
Nope.
No. What do we usually... Oh, yeah. I don't know what I'm doing.
Then I only have one thing to add. Make sure the feed isn't broken tonight.
It won't.
And you go down to South Carolina for a week.
You know what? The thing is, and this happens every couple about every 10 or 15 episodes when I put the feed up there. Somehow, some kind of, I don't know what happens, gets thrown in there. And if you look at it in a text editor or anything,
looks fine.
The feed looks fine, but
you gotta check it in that validator.
Yeah,
like,
I usually do,
used.
And I can't believe I actually forgot to do that before I left last week. And the wonky thing is, like, it'll work in Bashpotter, no
sure.
problem, but everything else it falls apart in. So, you know how it goes.
Yep.
We all know how it goes.
Keep it real.
Yeah. I'm just setting everything up here so we can close everything out. And then the next week, Chris DeBona.
Should be good.
And this is Jonathan Colton's Drinking With You. Enjoy.
Good night.
We work late and I pretend that I don't notice when you're next to me. I might be mistaken, but I sometimes get the feeling that you notice too. And I know this place that's near here, quiet, dark, and small. When we're finished here, I think that I may want a beer. How about you? It'd be nice to go out drinking. Think that we've danced around each other long enough to know where to stand. My heart stops in a panic when I think how it would feel to finally hold your hand. So we wait for this to happen, or make it happen now. Either way, I think that we should start off with a drink, maybe two. It'd be nice to go out drinking with you.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.